2 Chronicles chapter number 20. I'm going to start reading in verse number 14, and I am going to read a lengthier text than I normally do. That sometimes concerns me because I am well aware of the fact that we don't have very long attention spans these days and in this country. We get bored easily, and I'm not rebuking you. I'm saying it's just how we're geared. And I want to encourage you to kind of rein in your mind and stay attentive to what I'm reading. Let your mind dwell on it, and let's get some help here tonight. And also, the Lord gave me a verse on the way to church, and I did not look it up. I tried right before I left the house, and we had no signal there in the woods where I live. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Does anybody have that verse memorized and already know the reference? It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. I need somebody then to whip out their device and look that up for me, and I'll ask you here in a minute to give me that reference. Look with me, please, in verse number 14. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." Please notice verse number 2. This is my text. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. They were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Baraka unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. How about all God's people saying a good amen? Don't you love God's word? I love the truth in it. I love the power that is in it. And someone found the verse and texted it to me. Let's turn to Psalm 92. Hold your place, because we're going to stay in 2 Chronicles 20 the rest of the evening. We'll run a few cross references. Psalm 92. How many of you had already found it? How many? Yeah, hands everywhere. I mean, why weren't y'all reading the text with me? Amen. Psalm 92. Thank you for looking it up. And technology's not all bad. It's just bad if you let it be. Psalm 92 and verse number 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. How about doing this? Would you read that verse? If you're there, would you read Psalm 92:1 with me, please? Psalm 92:1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Let's let the Lord help us here tonight. I thank him for the liberty that he gave me this morning. I don't remember in 9 years preaching an entire message that was devoted to the topic of praise. I certainly have no recollection whatsoever of preaching two back to back, but I believe with all my heart that I have the mind of the Lord for what I need and what our church needs at this time in our growth and development as a church. We do praise the Lord. We have praised the Lord. We intend on praising the Lord, but I think we have to be reminded of the importance of it and the active duty that we have to come in and be a praising church. You're not just going to praise him by accident. And I can ask you right now off the top of your head, just give me some verses. You don't have to quote them verbatim, that just talk about praising the Lord, and verses you've learned as a child, verses you've memorized, verses we've sung in songs, verses you've learned in Bible quiz. I'm going to end with one of those here in a little bit. Verses would come to our mind. We all know that it's the right thing to do, but I think we come into church sometimes wanting somebody else to be the first. You go and I'll go. And we need as a church to be reminded. And I was meditating on this afternoon. If you're not back, you can go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I don't know if I'm right here. God didn't wake me up in the middle of the night and align the stars, or walk me out into the yard in the middle of the day and align the clouds to give me this message. But I believe I know the heart of this church well enough to know that. And I said this a few months ago about use of the altar, that we respect that, We're not a place where we just carelessly, flippantly, I want to go to the altar. Do you want to go to the altar? Yeah, let's go to the altar. And I'm not being critical of some youth meetings my family and I have been to where young people seem to use it carelessly. They're not doing business with God. My son was 19, and so that would have been 10 years ago. He went to a rally somewhere, and he came home, and I said, "How was it?" And he said, I'm disturbed, Dad. He said, "I watched young people play and pass notes, and somebody would start singing a certain song, and one girl would start crying, and she'd lean over to her friend and say, 'I want to go to the altar. You want to go to the altar? Yeah, let's go to the altar.'" And they all went to the altar, and their friends gathered around them, and they said they prayed, and they came back to their seat. And about 30 minutes later, they were singing another one of their favorite songs, and somebody else started crying and said, "I wanted to go to the altar. Do you want to go to the altar?" "Yeah, let's go to the altar." And they went. And I had to say, "I believe you're right. Hey, if you need to come three times while I'm preaching, the altars are open at Progress Baptist Church. Is that clear? You can come and do business with God. And if you're a guest here, I want to tell you something. If you came and got in the altar right now, you wouldn't bother a soul. They'd keep listening to me preach. If you needed help, they'd help you. But it's not going to bother anybody. So I'm for it. But this church as a whole respects the use of the altar. And something I said a few weeks, months ago, could have been 2 years for all I know. I said to the church, I said, if we're not careful, though, we almost get standoffish. And Jesus said, "Come boldly under the throne of grace that we may find grace to help in a time of need." So I said that to you and I meant it. And I want to tie that in on this topic of praise. As far as I know, every member of Progress Baptist Church likes, loves, enjoys, may even participate in vocal praise to God. That may be an amen with an uplifted hand. That may be a thank you, Lord, almost under your breath. Or that may be an Indian war whoop. I think we all love and enjoy that, have seen it, have been around it, have enjoyed it. We want to be a member of a church where that is not out of the ordinary and is even normal. But because of the day we live in, and because of the careless attitudes and foolish use of so-called praise, I'm afraid Progress Baptist Church, every now and then, I may be wrong, but I believe sometimes because we're so careful that we want it to be real, we sit back and we might just wait every now and then on somebody else. And I just want to say, according to Psalm 92:1, if it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, we don't need to be, can I just be country for a minute? We don't need to be plumb bashful about it. If he's worthy of our praise, then we ought to be willing. If he's worthy, we ought to be willing. We ought to be giving it. And we shouldn't be sitting back hoping God gets on somebody else. We act like praise is this bucket that he dumps out on us, and we're just sitting here minding our own business, and it catches us from out of nowhere, and we get caught up in the glory, and we stumble around in the glory for the next half hour. Now, I like to get, quote, in the glory, but let me tell you something. And when I praise him, it's on purpose. So if you're going to praise him, it's going to be deliberate. It's going to be intentional. It's going to be on purpose. And I have literally dealt with people who said, "Pastor, I'm going here. They are more vocal with their praise." And I've had to say, I haven't heard you issue a holy grunt in the last 3 years. Help me. That makes as much sense as saying, "I'm going down there. They have more fellowships," and you hadn't attended any fellowship we've had in the last 6 months. Hello. So y'all understand exactly what I'm talking about. So let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and what it says about praising and worshiping God. Look at verse number 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord, and the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Now we're going to look at all of those postures in verses 18 and 19. We're going to look at all of them. If you're not careful when you read those verses, you think that they all fell down before God. And they all raised up. And they all started to cry with a loud voice in unison. That it started here, it went here. But all of those ands indicate to me that all of this was going on at one time. Some are on their face before the Lord. Some are up with their hands in the air crying unto God with a loud voice. So let's look at these. Look at the one that says in verse 18, they bowed their head. I am glad that God made us individuals. And God's presence, His power, His glory, His manifestation of His presence, when it moves in a worship service, it is going to impact me according to the personality that God has given me. And it's going to impact you that way. Now, let me say, all personalities, okay, some personalities need refined. So don't, you know, that's just me. You know, I'm just a stick in the mud. Well, maybe you ought to work on that. So I'm not saying that every response is right, but I am saying that God works on us in different ways. I have had God's presence affect me differently from one service to the next. I have had God touch my heart. I thought about it this afternoon, Preacher Raines. Twice that I remember since I've been at this church, we have been sitting here singing congregationals, not specials, congregational music. And I was sitting there and overwhelmed with the goodness of God to the point that I felt prompted, led in my spirit to just bow before God. Just kneel. Not, woo! And I've done that before. Not run, and I've done that before. Not walk and wave hallelujah. Not walk and shake hands and hug necks, and I've done all that before. But just kneel. Can I be straight up with you? That was harder for me. And when I walk, run, leap, walk, shake hands, hug necks, I'm not doing any of that to be seen. But can I be honest with you? As far as embarrassing the flesh, simply bowing down and kneeling humbly was as embarrassing to the flesh as any act of worship I've ever done. I don't know if that makes any sense at all. And boy, it happened recently, and I learned my lesson the first time, and I just obeyed Him. But boy, the first time I remember thinking, here's what went through my mind. Forgive me. What will everybody think? And then I thought, I don't really care what everybody thinks. I love Jesus. If it was before church and Brighton was up here milling around with the kids, and her pawpaw, who had been on the road for 3 weeks, and he didn't see her at home. The first place she saw him after 3 weeks was at Progress Baptist Church. I think we all know what Brighton is going to do. She is going to run. Her hands are going to be up. Somebody say amen. Her hands are going to be up. And she's going to run to Pawpaw. She's not worried about who she's passing on the way. She couldn't care 2 cents what you think. If you get in her way, she's not stopping. If you said, stop running in church, she's not going to obey you. Why? She's focused on one thing. Papa. And I love to worship God. I love to express it. I love to share it. I love to enjoy it with other believers. And boy, when He said, bow down, my flesh just got so embarrassed. I obeyed Him that night, but boy, recently, I think it might have been one of our Tuesday night services, God said, why don't you just bow and thank me for a few minutes?
And I did it, and it was sweet, and without being a smart aleck, like Brother John said, I didn't really worry about what anybody thought or said, because I love Jesus. So here's what I see, church. One of them bowed his head. Another group, look at the verse, look at verse 18, fell before the Lord worshiping. I'm going to go somewhere with this. I want you to go there with me, if you would. And that is this. The modern day, and by that I mean it's about 50 years old. It went before that, but it became mainstream back in the 70s. The modern day charismatic movement is known for people falling out. So much so that they keep a stash of sheets and blankets nearby. If you've ever been to that service, and I'm not mocking the way anybody praises God, I am biblically telling you the difference between false fire and real fire. If you've ever watched that online or been in one of those services, they always fall backwards and they're always covered up. Anybody you ever found in your Bible falling fell forward in homage, in respect, in reverence to God. Okay, I'm not being crude, and if you're old enough to understand, you'll understand. If you're not, it'll just go right over your head, and that's fine. If I come to you and want to show you respect, and I flop backwards, and I'm laying there all sprawled out, do y'all understand sprawled out? If I'm all sprawled out in front of you, I'm not showing you respect. But if I do this, and let's be real, cover myself, I'm showing respect to you. We've all seen people who said they were worshiping and they were sprawled. They might not have been on the floor, but they're sprawled out. Y'all with me? And we've all seen people worship and you sensed the reverence, the respect, the holiness of that. So whether you're response is a bowing down, whether your response is a falling down, whatever it is, it ought to exalt the one that you're worshiping. Let's look at the other response. Look in verse number 19. The other group stood up to praise the Lord, and they did it with a loud voice. So here's what I want us to get a hold of. Here's the three words that I wrote in my notes. The bowed head shows respect and reverence. The falling before the Lord shows a submission to Him and who He is. And just like I preached this morning, true worship will always be accompanied by humility and submission. And it's not an exaltation of self. And then the standing up before the Lord is exalting who He is. It is making much of God. And we get that in every other area of life. If you went to the convention center in Asheville, if you went to the Lila Patterson Center here in Fletcher, and there were 1,000 people, and they said, tonight we're going to honor so-and-so, and here's the acts of self-sacrifice that they've done for the last 40 years, that congregation, that audience, regardless of how highbrow they may be, if there's somebody there at the upcoming gala in October when they do the gala for life and those who have given their means to save lives, if they told a heart-touching story, this lady labored in the shadows, nobody ever knew her name, and she's responsible for 150 lives being spared, that audience would stand to their feet, stomp, clap, cheer, whistle, and that would all be appropriate, right? To exalt that person for what they've done. And I look in my Bible in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and God Himself is being exalted for no other reason. Church, in this passage right here, He hadn't delivered them. They're still in bondage. They're still in a condition that would best be described as, I don't know what to do. So let me stop preaching and go to meddling. Here's how most of us think: when God gives the victory, I'll give Him the glory. What if He said, give me the glory just because of who I am? What if you gave Him the glory and then He turned around and gave you the victory? I think you'll find more of that in your Bible than you will the other. But Psalm 92:1 say, it's a good thing to give thanks. People have texted me in the last, I'll just be broad with it, the last month. Pastor, I'm perplexed. I'm praying. That series on entanglement, you and I both know God took us places there that I had no idea. And that hit a nerve in people's hearts and lives like nothing I've preached in years here. And people have just said, Pastor, my mind is entangled. My family is entangled. I want some help from God. What if the answer to all of those burdens in your life is to simply step back and praise Him for who He is? It's a lie of the devil to get us to think that when all of those things are worked out, then it'll be time to praise God. Because I am here to tell you, you can live an untangled life. I'm going to say it again. You can live an untangled life. That being said, life is going to happen. And whatever has you bound down right now, when it is 100% resolved, guess what? Something's going to rear its ugly head and take its place. And again, I'm not unpreaching what I preached for 6 weeks. We can line our lives up with God's Word and live in victory. But I'm here to tell you, there's always going to be a burden weighing heavy on you when you walk in those doors. It's going to be somebody. It's going to be financial. It's going to be children. Dad said he thought when he got me and my sister raised, his problems would be over. He said, and all I got was in-laws. He said, and then I got grandkids. Here's what he said. He said, my prayer list used to be this long. Now it's this long. So the cares of this life, Brother Fred, are there to stay. And so it is the right thing. It is a good thing. It is a good thing to give praise unto God. The first thing we're looking at is the posture of praise. And I'm not here to tell you that there's one posture for you, and there's one posture for you, and there's one posture for you. All I want to ask Progress Baptist Church tonight is, are we praising Him? Do we come in the door looking for an opportunity to praise Him for who He is? I'm going to say it. I've already said it. I said it this morning. I said it a minute ago. I'm saying it now. I'm going to say it again before we finish here tonight. You're not going to come in and do it by accident. It's deliberate and it's intentional. Let's look at the people of praise. Let's look at the people of praise. Look at verse number 18. Jehoshaphat bowed his head. Somebody tell me who Jehoshaphat was. He's the king. All Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord. All Judah, an entire tribe, the tribe of praise. All Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord. Look at verse 19. The Levites, the children of the Kohathites, the children of the Korites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Here's what I wrote in my notes. The king praised him. Sadly, I know some pastors, they want their church to be a praising church, and they let the burdens and cares of the ministry keep them from ever praising God. Let me tell you, most churches I've been in, you're not going to get any people more interested in praise than the preacher is. So you pray for me. Yes, there's cares in the ministry. Yes, there's burdens of life. Yes, there's health concerns. Yes, there's life to live. But let me tell you something. I want to leave all that in the truck for an hour and a half. I want to come in and worship Jesus. Amen. The king, and I'm not your king. The king, praise God, the leader. All the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The Bible says in Psalm 150, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now, I am not talking about living a wicked life out there on the street and then walking in here and acting like you're all that. That is not what I'm getting ready to talk about. But I'm here to tell you something. A lost man ought to come in and thank God for the breath he's breathing. A lost man ought to be able to walk in the door and thank God for the safety between the house and church. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying that the church is just, you know, come one, come all, and it doesn't matter how you live in, you know, you can get on the program. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm saying even a lost man ought to be praising God. And all the inhabitants of Jerusalem did. Look at the next two categories, the priests, and then all those other names. Those are people groups that were designed and designated. They learned songs. They praised the Lord because His mercy endures forever. And here's where I want to go with that. They came, and that was their assignment when they got to the house of God. You're going to praise Him. We would never in a million years do that. That would bother us. If we said, first Sunday in the month, your family's supposed to praise Him. Second Sunday in the month, y'all are supposed to praise Him. Third Sunday in the month is y'all's. Y'all are supposed to lead us in praise. That would bother us. Because we've just been taught and reminded so adamantly and so passionately about the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And the truth of the matter is we wished everybody would come in ready for that. But my point is they had a responsibility. They had an assignment. You're here to praise God. And when they did, that prompted other praise. That encouraged other people to praise the Lord. And here's the other thing that I want us to get from this. When you sing, my daddy was a brand spanking new Christian, a baby Christian raised in a drunkard's home. And when he got saved, he sat me and my sister down. He said, I want us to learn a song as a family. Back up in those hills and hollers in West Virginia, everybody sang. They might have been drinking the night before, but they'd get out a guitar and sing, I'm using my Bible for a roadmap. Okay, our life is like a mountain railway. Okay, they'd cry, you know, and they'd go back to their wicked lifestyle the next day. So he'd been around singing. He said, I want y'all to sing. But he said, you're not singing for people to look at you. You're singing to worship Him. And I just want to remind Progress Baptist Church, when we sing as a congregation, when we sing as we keep learning songs in a choir format, when groups sing, you're not trying to impress anybody and everybody with your pretty voice. Amen. And if you've got a beautiful voice, guess what? Just like I said this morning, God gave that to you. You could sound like me, but you don't. And you ought to thank God. He said, Brother Ryan, you're being humble. Oh, no, I heard a cassette tape one day. Chris got in the car and Mama had one playing. And Chris said, Lord, have mercy, who is that? She said, Chris, that's you and the kids. She said, I don't know who that is, but they don't have any business singing. And Mama said, Chris, that's y'all. She said, I don't care, we don't have any business singing. Some problems are masked in the spirit of a service. Aren't you glad? Can I get a witness? And not everybody needs to make a CD. Most of us don't need to make a CD. We just need to love on Jesus and leave and thank God. But when you sing, it's not so everybody can hear your rich baritone voice. It's not so everybody can hear how high you can reach or how low you can go or how beautiful your blend is. And if you can sing high, guess what? You know what you need to be doing? Singing. If you can sing low, you ought to be singing. If you can blend, you ought to be blending. You ought to be using all that for His glory. But you're singing to Him. I want you to turn to Psalm 148, verse number 11. Let's start in 1, and then I'll skip a verse. Let's read 1 and 2. You ready? Psalm 148, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Verse number 11. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men, maidens, old men, and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and the heaven. How many of you believe what I just read? I know you do. I believe it. You believe it. My family believes it. Are we doing it? Have we done it today? I don't know your heart and you don't know mine. For all I know, when we were singing those congregationals, your heart was overflowing with praise. For all I know, when that offering plate passed, you laid an offering in there and it was all you could do to contain yourself and to just say, Lord, you have been so good to me. This is the least I can do for all of your blessings on me. I pray to God that He has been praised and worshiped here all day long. Can I say, in addition to singing congregationals? Can I say, in addition to singing specials when you're called upon or playing a stringed instrument as an offertory? I'm going to go back to where I was a minute ago. That's not an opportunity for us to show our picking skills. No. We play to praise Him. And so I pray that in addition to the congregational and the offertory and the special and the offering that you might have given, that every one of us who God has told to praise Him vocally, verbally, outwardly, has been obedient to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You say, preacher, every one of us can't do that every service. We're not in any danger of that happening. And if it did, can I tell you something as your pastor? I would be fine. Come on now. I need a little help. Here's what Preacher Raines taught me when I was growing up. If the kids ever got quiet, they's into something. So I wonder if sometimes our quietness at the house of God, and I don't want noise for the sake of noise, but I wonder sometime if our quietness is at the house of God means we've been into something out in the world. And when we get in the house of God, we're gonna be still because we know we've been living a double life. I need a witness. Let's don't be that church. Church, that's a dime a dozen. Let's don't be them. Psalm 150. Are you still in Psalms? Look at Psalm 150, verse 6. Say, preacher, I like it. I want to raise my family around it, but it's just not me. It's just not me. You don't know me. Look at Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that hath breath. Are you breathing? Say amen. Amen. Two or three of you I'm not so sure about. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You say, I don't know what to praise Him for. You know what I mean? I'm not being a smart lady. I didn't know this one 25 years ago. I had to get old to learn this one. You know what the first thing we can praise Him for? Yeah, we ought to thank Him we're safe. Let everything that hath praise the Lord. You know where you can start? Breath. Now, that's deep. That's deep right there. You sit beside somebody who's on oxygen. She is praising God this morning that the baby never had to have one tube of oxygen inserted into his nose. That's worth praising Him for. My uncle in Charleston, he's with the Lord now, had a testimony later in life. I sat with him when I was down there working. I'd go over and visit once a week or so and spend a few hours with him. And he was sitting there. Smoked himself to death. Dying of emphysema. I didn't know Brother Doug how young he was. I was in my 20s. He was in his 60s. I didn't realize 60 was still young. And he sat there. He said, Doug, you work with young people, don't you? Yes, sir, Uncle Hayward. Please warn him about smoking. He said, I ought to have 20 more years of life ahead of me. He said, but I'm not going to make it. And he didn't. So you start by thanking Him for breath. You start by thanking Him. I watched Brother Gasway. I wouldn't embarrass you. Hobbling just a little. You came in using that cane. Boy, if you've got mobility, you can thank God. If you've got control over all your bodily functions, you can thank God. If you've got eyes that can see, ears that can hear, hands that can grip that one you love the most, that's something to thank Him for. You take it for granted. You say, Brother Ains, only old people have strokes. Let's go to the neuro unit at the hospital. And you watch somebody who'd love to grip a hand of somebody they love one more time. Don't take His blessings for granted, church. To go back to the text, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I believe God wants me to say this. If you can sit down with your family, whether it's immediate or extended, and have a nice, decent, enjoyable time together. I don't mean you're tight and taking vacation together. I'm not sure that's ever God's will. Because if you were getting along, you're probably not going to be when you get back. If you can sit at a table and enjoy their company for an hour and a half and sing happy birthday to Paul, do you understand how much you ought to thank God for that? Do you understand how many folks in this congregation tonight would love for their family to be able to sit for an hour and a half peaceably? I'm not trying to hurt anybody, Miss Tammy. I wouldn't do it. You could write me a check and say, fill in the amount and hurt somebody. I wouldn't do it on purpose. That's not what a pastor does. But I pastor people. They'd love to have one more meal with the family and everybody get along. Treat each other with respect for 90 minutes, Miss Yvonne, 90 minutes. You with me, church? You with me? I'm just trying to remind you, God's been good to you. Don't take it for granted. I've heard people stand up in church and thank God for things others might have found silly. There's nothing silly to thank Him for. If it meant something to you, thank Him. He's worthy. Don't take His blessings for granted. Look back in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of, look here, Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah. How many enemies? Three. Look at verse 23. Children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir. That's clear, isn't it? There's three enemies. Two of them turned on the other. Now, I love this. Look at the rest of that verse. To utterly slay and destroy them. When they made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, are there any more Seirites? Look at that last line. If this don't help you, you're beyond help. Everyone helped to destroy another. What happened? Y'all getting this? This is good. Two of them ganged up on the other and slaughtered them. And when they were finished with them, all they knew how to do was fight. And what they do? They turned on each other. And it came down to two. And one lunged a sword while the other one hit the other one with a club and they died and everybody's gone. You say, preacher, that ain't in there. You prove your point and I'll prove mine. They're all gone. And it took 3 days to get all the spoil off of them. Here's my point. When I'm praising Jesus, they can't fight with me. So what do? Turn on each other. Some of us stay in knots because we always in a fighting posture. And we're an easy target for the devil because we walk around with a chip on our shoulder and an attitude. And he's like, oh, he looks like he's ready for a fight. And we are. Because we're walking in the... Y'all ahead of me. Walk in the Spirit. And boy, that enemy's right there. Now, I can't get him. He's always crying with his hand up in there. I can't get him. He's in the glory. Can't get her. Good night. She's thanking Him for everything. She thanks Him for pots and pans. And she thanks Him for laundry. Good. Can't get her. Oh, I bet she's mad at God. Look at everything she's been through. Lord have mercy. She's smiling and singing. I can't get her. and they end up turning on each other. And when they run out of enemies, then they're all piled up like dead bodies, and we get to swoop in and take the spoil. Galatians, if you bite and devour one another, take heed lest you be consumed one of another. Church, many of us have been here 7, 8, 9 years. Some of you before that, before I came along, and we know each other well enough to get on each other's nerves. I think it's time for me to go to Naples. There'll be somebody at Naples get on your last nerve just like there is at Progress. You might as well just learn to get along at Progress. We live in the throwaway culture. Friends, marriages, children, parents. Y'all know what I'm talking about. There's families everywhere can't get along. That's not of God. And they bring all that into the church. No, no, no. Here's what the church does. Bears one another's burdens. And boy, when Satan and the powers of darkness are roaming, read your Bible, when they're roaming on Sunday morning looking for somewhere to invade, there ought to just be so much praise going on here. Loud? Maybe it'll be loud. Maybe it'll be weeping in the altar. I just mean loving on Jesus. There ought to be so much praise going on that they're like, no, I'm going to go down to somewhere where they're already biting and devouring one another. Let the Syrites and the Moabites and the Ammonites, let them take care of each other. Psalm 50, and I've got one more verse and I'm done. Psalm 50. I'm going to look at two verses, church. Thank you for listening. Now, here's what I want to ask you. You've listened. We need to put it into practice. Amen, preacher. We need to be praising. Amen. That's wonderful. Yes. Amen. 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 I want to be a praising church. Praise is an action verb. Psalm 50, verse 23. Are you there? What a verse. Whoso offereth praise, glorifieth me. To him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. I don't think it's a surprise to anybody. A lot of times when I'm in church, Seth, my heart is just saturated with the message, and I have to intentionally set the message right here and praise and worship God. And I do my best to do that. I hope you know that as a congregation. I ought to praise Him as much as you ought to praise Him. Probably ought to be the one who leads the way. I ought to at least be an example of it. But here's what I want to say. When the Lord started dealing with me years ago, you ought to be praising me. It's real, it's right, and it's not just for the old white heads. I say that respectfully. It's not just for the old people in the church, it's for all of you. And I think one thing that I had hesitated for, some of my peers put on a good show at church and they weren't the real deal at school. That didn't go over very good. And I, Brother Youngblood, I wanted to be real. So I'd kind of laid back a little bit. I'm not pinning any roses on me. I'm just bragging on Jesus. But when He got a hold of my heart and said, I want to preach, I would embarrass the flesh a little bit. I was a little embarrassed at myself one night when I got home from church. And I don't know if it was Bible reading or just led by the Spirit to this passage. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And God said, don't you worry about embarrassing the flesh. If you're praising me, I'm glorified. I don't want a fair show in the flesh. And there's not a soul at Progress Baptist Church that wants a fair show in the flesh. But whoso offereth praise glorifieth God. He likes it. He is worthy. He deserves it. I want you to look at one more verse. If you, some of you quizzers haven't learned it yet, you will this year. Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's start in verse 17. I'm going to close with several verses, but I'm aiming for one. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Progress Baptist, does Christ dwell in your heart by faith? If He does, say amen. And that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, Progress Baptist Church, in your individual life, not in our church family, in your life, has God ever, one time, at least once, done exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think? If He has, say amen. Amen. According to the power that worketh in us, unto Him, who would that be? God, Jesus. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. My heart's cry, the passionate desire of my heart, is there be glory to God in the church by Christ Jesus. If that means a hushed, quiet reverence for the Word, so be it. If that means tears in the altar, so be it. If that means we're on our feet with our hands in the air with a loud voice, so be it. But with all my heart, and I don't mean once a month, when we gather together, I want glory in the church for Jesus Christ. That's the only hope for that daughter. That baby of yours, that's her only hope, is that there be glory in the church. I got one stronger than that. Your home, you know what its hope is? Glory in the church. Brother Ains, can you prove that? Yes, sir. Husbands, love your wives the way Christ loved the church. You get Jesus in the church on the same page, the way He wants it to be, it'll rub off on your home. I want glory in the church for Jesus Christ.